out for something to leave their mark when life is through. But vain pursuits will count for nothing. Time will erase whatever we do. I want my life to count for Jesus, for earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain. Inside my heart, there burned a question. What was I placed on earth here for? It truly was to build a kingdom, not a
halfway around the world, huh? Appreciate, Pastor, the opportunity to stand behind the pulpit God's given you and speak to your people. Thank you so very much. We've been overwhelmed by the generosity. We've been overwhelmed by the graciousness, the fellowship. I wasn't sure we hadn't made it to the hotel last night before Brother Hudson preached. I wasn't sure what he was talking about with the gift basket. And I got to the room and found out why he went on about the gift basket so long. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I know that that was sacrificially given, so I appreciate that very much. The singing, the faithfulness to be here, was only here last night and tonight, but to be with you and see a full crowd of people on a Tuesday night and on a Wednesday night, that blesses me. The amount of churches in my short 9 months of evangelism, don't take this for granted, what you got. And work for even more. I want to thank also those of you that prayed for and continue to pray for my wife and our family. And as some of you know what I'm speaking of with health situations and things like that. Thank you so very much. I know that I would not be standing here. My wife would not be over there were it not for your prayers. And so thank you very much for that. Greatly appreciate that. I also want to take a moment and say this. Pastor alluded to it a moment ago. But we met. Probably the very first time we met was at Heritage Baptist Camp for the Scott Hanks' camp. I was called to preach during a message that you preached. So I will say this to your church. Thank you for allowing your pastor to invest in others. I know my wife can say, being, of course, yes, very close with my father-in-law and all those things to your pastor. But there are some churches that seem to be jealous of their pastor and don't want to allow him out. And so the people, better people than I, that are cross-dotting our globe that have been under your pastor's preaching. and you have allowed that to be possible. Thank you for that. Thank you to the church. I would like to give you a short synopsis of who I am. There's no reason you should know who I am previous to this. And so I'd like to, if I could, tell you. My name is Michael McCurry. I had the privilege of growing up in a military family. I was an Army brat in multiple uses of the word, and had the opportunity. I told the young people in the missions class today, I was born in Texas, then we moved to California, then Virginia, Kansas, then Germany for 4 years, then back to Virginia, Kansas, then went to college in California, got a master's degree here in Illinois, went to work in Ohio. So we only moved about 10 times in 20 years or so, and so not too much, not too crazy, but it definitely prepared me for evangelism. That didn't bother me too much. Bouncing around. I think I'll be in about 7 states in less than 2 weeks, over the next 2 weeks. And so pray for safety there. I'd appreciate that. Had the privilege, as I mentioned, to be called to preach under your pastor's preaching. And actually, there were multiple occasions when you preached. It was very helpful to me. At different times I've heard you. But had the opportunity to go to Golden State and then Providence and then work for Pastor Joe Grimaldi for 5.5 years and would not begrudge a moment that I was there. Learned so much from him. In about June or July of 2019, Pastor Grimaldi had a very open dialogue about what the Lord had for me next, and we talked about the possibility of church planting. I've talked to you about that multiple times, and trying to figure out what the Lord had for us. In June or July, the Lord had cemented in my heart that evangelism was where it was going to be. We're going to move to Dwight, be sent out of First Baptist to Dwight. And so I talked to Pastor Grimaldi. I said, Pastor, I know. I believe I'd like to give you 6 months, January 1st, will be my last day, December 31st. That was a Sunday. On Tuesday, 2 days later, I got a call from a friend. Are you thinking about a transition in ministry? It's funny how the Lord's timing works that way. And I said, well, funny enough, yes, I am. I'm actually moving to Illinois area. He said, there's a ministry in Bloomington. Now, my Illinois geography is still not great, but it was even worse then. I had no idea. Illinois is a reasonably long state, and so I GPSed it real quick. I said, that's only an hour away. He said, they're looking for an office manager. Would you be interested in me throwing your name in there? I said, absolutely. I was thinking, I can work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in the office at a ministry-type position, and then be gone on the weekends in evangelism. This will be a great match. And so I talked to the previous director, talked to him, and then we came in for an interview, sat down with Joey Watt, pastor of Ella Vista, the chairman of the board, and the previous director. And about 2 hours into a 2.5 hour interview, he said this. I'm going to put all my cards on the table. That's probably not a good euphemism for us Baptists, but put all my cards on the table. Said, you're not going to be content being the office manager for very long, are you? I said, I was up front with him. I said, and we had talked about previous, I see this as a 2 to 3 year thing, build up my schedule of meetings and evangelism and be able to really launch out into that full time. This will be a great kind of intermediary thing. And he said, okay, I think you should be the next director. We'd known each other for 2 hours. I prayed about it for less than 48 hours. Here's what I believe God told me. If the board makes the illogical decision to take an 83-year-old ministry from my predecessor, a 66-year-old man with 40-something years in ministry, and give it to you, a 27-year-old at the time, then just go ahead and say yes. And I was like, all right, God, we'll do that. That'll be great. Little did I know the legacy. Those of you that may know the name Paul Levine, preached at Bill Rice Ranch, literally 40 years running, if I'm not mistaken, invested in literally thousands of kids, young people around the world, and a man who I've yet, Pastor Angel, one of the things that amazes me, it's almost like a Joseph complex. Nobody I've talked to has said a cross word about him, which is amazing. And you know, as Baptists, we don't have a problem talking about someone when they're outside the room. And it's even easier when they're dead, right? They can't defend themselves. And so the legacy, his wife, Dorothy Levine, was a prayer warrior. Paul Levine, known as the Dean of Evangelists. And it saddened me. I had never heard the man's name before I became familiar with Bible tracts. So this rich legacy, history. And the Lord allowed me January 1st to assume the role of executive director of Bible tracts. And it's been guns blazing since then. Some of the things that we have on the back table, you'll notice everything on the left side is completely free. Please grab one. If you grab one of these sample packets, it'll save me the shipping when you decide you want one later, and we have to ship it to you, okay? So go ahead and grab one now. That'll be a blessing. It has one each of every track that we currently produce. I have the feeling, I realize that I'm kind of like a spiritual ammunition manufacturer. In this state, now my home state, I hope it's okay to talk about hunting and guns and things like that. Hope it doesn't bother you. But if you're hunting squirrels, you use a different ammo than when you're hunting deer and when you're hunting tape buffalo or lions. It's different ammunition, right? At least it's recommended. You probably don't want to shoot buckshot at a squirrel. Well, I guess you can. It's up to you. But tracks are not much different. For instance, a track that we have called Peace in Terminal Illness. That might not be the track for every occasion, but in the right circumstance, it's very powerful. Another one, comfort in time of loss. Right now, the Lord has allowed the COVID-19 track that some of you might have used. We've put out over 500,000 of those in the last 6 months, and to God be the glory, a track that did not exist 6 or 7 months ago. And so you'll see all of those there. I'd recommend you look through there. What you do is you sit down at your kitchen table. I'd ask you to prayerfully look over. And please use the tracks that are here as well, but divide these tracks up into three categories. Here's the tracks I'll never, ever in my lifetime use, and that's okay. There's 40 options. Some of them you won't like. I expect it. But these ones here in the middle, maybe the specialized tracks, like Peace and Terminal Illness. And then the last one, these are my absolute favorites. Maybe I have two or three that I really like. And look through them. Know your weapons before you go into battle. I've had the opportunity, I told the young people that I'd passed out three or four of the COVID tracks since I've been here. The gentlemen that are smoking outside the Comfort Inn and the receptionist there and all of that. But I have confidence in the track that I'm passing out. I know my merchandise. I know it's worthwhile to somebody. And I think it'll be helpful to you to know the tracks you're passing out as well. And so look at that, if you would. On the right side of the table, there's some CDs. I'm not here to make money on CDs. They're by donation only. And if you don't have the money for them, take them anyway. I'd like to get good music into your homes. There's some Bible stories and Bible songs for kids. We bemoan the trash that the world is putting out, but we're not replacing it with anything sometimes. And so please avail yourself of that. And then my personal favorite album of late is the Raines Family, We Need the Church. You can say amen after that. We need the church. And all 10 of those songs in there are original. They're brand new. I think you'll be helped by that. I would be amiss if I did not mention the Midwest Christian Boys Football Camp. 1 year, a little bit of a hiatus, but it's coming back next year, come heaven or high water, all right? And so August 1st through 6th, grab one of these. Have your young man, if you have a grandson, if you have a cousin, if you have a nephew, let them know about this. You only need to turn on the TV for a few moments to see why we need a camp like this. And so please, please do that. And then our prayer card back there, I told Toby in the back, the best use of this, as Brother Baxter said, put it on your fridge. But what I'd say is take your magnet that you're going to hold it up there with and put it right over my face right there, okay? And then you can see the best three quarters of the family, and you won't, your appetite won't be messed up by seeing my face on your fridge, okay? God has absolutely blessed what we've been able to do at Bible Tracks. The only reason that we were able to, Pastor Mark Smith, my predecessor, who has been phenomenal, and Pastor, you've seen this, so many ministries don't survive transitions. And somehow this one survived Paul Levine passing away in 1996, survived Mark Smith for the last 15 or so years, and then handing it off, and Lord willing, I'm not going to run it into the ground. That's the prayer, right? But the reason for that in part is because my predecessor was so unselfish. He so desired. Does not harbor an ounce of bitterness if I take the ministry further and faster than he ever did. And he's told me so in so many words multiple times, and I so appreciate that. But the only reason that I was able to jump in the driver's seat, drop it into first, and peel the tires out is because of the strength of the foundation that was there. A saying that has meant a lot to me lately is you can't shoot a cannon out of a rowboat. You can't shoot a cannon out of a rowboat. Here's what I mean by that. The strength, the brawn, the power, it has to have a solid foundation. It's like all the trees that got blown over. Some had more firm foundations than others did, and some fell. And thank God for the ministry of Bible Tracks and the fact that we've been able to do some things. We just printed 500,000 tracks in Pakistan recently, and they were all gone in a week. We could literally print 1 million over there in the next week, and they have a festival coming up with 4 million people coming directly to a major city there, and we could put them all out. here's a problem. We don't have it in the budget. So things like that, and that's one. Our friends from Mexico could tell us about the tens of millions of tracts that they could put out in weeks and months very easily. And so our ministry prints and distributes gospel tracts completely free of charge and has done that for 83 years. How do we do that? These cost money. So how do you do that? It's the grace of God and the giving of God's generous people. That's the only way it happens. And praise God for his thankfulness. 500,000 in Pakistan, over 500,000 of our COVID track. We have a radio ministry that plays on 50 or 60 stations around the U.S. We just invested in the opportunity to have our own 24/7 online radio. You can see a little bit about that on the back table. Please avail yourself of that. I always love talking about track stories. It's amazing to hear what God can do with a simple piece of paper. One of my favorites, it's a very simple one, but there was a young lady that was walking through the streets of Essex, London, England, across the pond. And she was already saved. She knew Christ as her Savior. And she felt an impressing on her heart that she needed to do more for the cause of Christ, to do more for the gospel's sake, as we all should. And she was thinking this, and here's what happened. She's walking along the thoroughfare there, and as it's wont to do there, it was drizzly. It was a gray day, and there was standing water everywhere. And she looked down and saw one of these and picked it up. She didn't recognize it at first, read through it, knew Christ already, but looked on the back, and our information was there. Somehow one of our tracts had gotten into a puddle in London, England, and she decided that maybe, and I agree, it was a sign of the Lord that maybe she should order some tracts from us, because if it caught her eye in a puddle, maybe it would catch someone else's eye when you hand it that way, too. One of my favorite stories of late, back in 1985, there was a gentleman from Hawaii. I'd love to do ministry in Hawaii. Called the current director at that time, Mike Duffy was his name, called him and said, I'd like 1,500 tracts of this language, and this language. 4,500 tracts. Same track, but in different languages. And we try to be very careful, be good stewards of the money God has given us. We don't just send thousands of tracts out to someone that's been unvetted. We'll send 100 or 200, 500. But when you're talking close to 5,000 tracts, we want to be careful. This is God's money we're working with. And so we called him. He kind of talked through it, tried to figure out what his deal was. Are you actually using these? And he said, absolutely, I am. He sends him the tracts. He believed him. Didn't think anything else of it. Two years later, they got a tract in the mail. And on the back of our tracts, it has a place where you can fill your name out and leave your address. The address was a small Polynesian island, hundreds if not thousands of miles from the chain of Hawaiian islands. And something tickled the back of Mike Duffy's brain. He's thinking, literally, almost across the Atlantic completely. How would a track, the only person I know that ordered tracks in that neck of the woods was this guy in Hawaii. I'm going to give him a call. So he did. Here's the story. And it was vetted by the person that actually sent in the fact that they got saved. It was not an English track that he got, that he used. This gentleman in Hawaii, he's an oceanographer. He studies the currents. And he walks the beaches of Hawaii and picks up old bottles. And he repurposes them. He takes three gospel tracts, different languages, and puts them down in the bottle. And using his knowledge of the currents and things like that, he takes his boat out. And he knows, in the general vicinity of here, at this time of year, if I drop these dozen bottles, they're going to end up at a place I can never go. Maybe reach someone I'll never see. And a fisherman from a Polynesian island that doesn't speak English, thousands upon thousands of miles away, hears a thud up against the side of his boat, a few hundred yards out from shore. And he reaches down, weeks, months later, I'm not sure, uncorks that sealed bottle, and pulls out some gospel tracts and gets saved. That's just a story. That's just a coincidence. No, friend, that's a Christian being led of God to use some skills that he has for the glory of God. That's our ministry. That's what we live for. You can't beat a track story like that. And that's why the Lord's led us, and I will get to the message in just a moment, but this track right here is brand new. Didn't exist. I told the young people a month ago. Your decision 2020. You see, your decision this year is not about who sits in the Oval Office. It's about who's king of your life. And that's true for every single 300-something million people on our country, in our country. And so in this track, brightly colored and all that thing, it actually references the candidates in there, but it says at the end of an unusual year, that's putting it lightly, we find ourselves facing a massive decision. And then it goes through the gospel plan, tells people how they can be saved. We have 250,000 of these arriving, and I need help getting them out. Pastor, I've realized that if I'm an ammunition supplier, you know, stock prices for Smith & Wesson and Remington aren't going down right now. You know why? Because we're not sure what the election's going to hold, right? The reason they can't keep .22 ammo and 9mm ammo on the shelves is because we're not sure. We're kind of trepidatious, right? You know the best time for an arms dealer, Brother Baxter, in South Sudan, Somalia, that neck of the woods, buying AK-47s and RPGs? It's when there's civil unrest, right? When there's a war going on. Well, why is it that I, as a spiritual ammunition supplier, don't have the ammunition flying off the shelves? Is it because Christian soldiers don't know we're in a battle? Why is it that you aren't, why are you walking out of your house without these on you? Oh, I'm gonna show people through my life. That's well and good. That's one hook in the water. Great. It's a weak one, for the most part. I'm not saying you shouldn't look the part of a Christian. Your countenance shouldn't display that. But me walking past the receptionist today didn't do anything for her. Me walking by in my suit. But the coronavirus track I left behind might. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room, and yet we're this. I hear people tell me all the time, this is the most unrest they've ever seen in 6 months in their entire lives, and yet our prayer time is shorter than it's ever been. Why is that? We're not preaching yet, but it's all right. So, this is a challenge to you to use gospel tracts. Esther, remember her? Remember that decree of destruction that the hateful man Haman had put upon all, the Bible says in Esther 3:14-15, upon all men, women, and children, upon one day of the month Adar, everyone was going to die that had Jewish ancestry. Decree of destruction was already out there. People were going to die. And here's what happened. Esther walked into a throne room and obtained a declaration of deliverance. But here was the issue. What she was faced with at that moment was the decision to distribute it. She had to give it to some horsemen and some mule riders and some camel riders to get that to all corners of the kingdom right now. We can talk about Christ possibly coming back here soon, but are we acting like it? Are we living like it? Didn't mean to talk about tracts that much, but what I will say this is this. We're excited about it. I'd ask you to pray heavily about this if you would. We are testing the ability to track tracts. Here's what I mean by that. On the back of each one of these brand new tracts, your decision 2020, is a 6-digit code. What that will allow us to do is to know if you hand out one of these tracts. Now we're building the platform, all these things are working. But if you pass out this track, and you, I've said before, leave it at a truck stop, and a truck driver picks it up, and in Colorado visits the website, puts in that code, we'll know who passed it out. And if they push a button, I made a decision for Christ on the website. Here's the issue. Most of our tracts, they have put your name there and your address and mail it back in, right? Well, here's the problem. My generation doesn't know if we have a stamp in the house. So we don't use, and the USPS is so unreliable. What's the point these days, right? And so, but you know what? We all jump on these. And even in a third world country, they don't have a reliable postal service. But they all somehow figure out how to get on the internet if they need to. And so they don't have food or running water, but they have smartphones oftentimes. So here's the thought. Here's the thought. We hear it said, and it's true, that we'll never know till eternity the impact we make. Well, I believe we do serve a God of positive reinforcement, and so I'm excited for the opportunity to present an opportunity for us to be able to have some inkling of positive reinforcement for you to know. Also this. If, Lord willing, the church takes us on here, and let's just say arbitrary numbers, $50 a month or so, that buys, let's say, 1,000 tracts. Well, you folks, at some point in the future, we're working on this, but you, each one of you, could log into a dashboard and see that 500 tracts that you paid for with your blood, sweat, and tears, your missions dollars, paid for 500 tracts that went to the Philippines, and 250 that went to Wyoming, and 250 that went to Florida. And somebody in Florida visited the website and said, I made a decision for Christ, and you can see in an instant the impact that you made. So we're working that way. I'd ask you to pray with us. I've talked to some of the men here. This is a little bit cutting edge for us independent Baptists, all right? And so pray with us that the Lord allows it to happen. You know that Google and Facebook, they're skimming off your data all the time, right? Well, your data's out there. There's no reason it can't be used for the gospel's sake. Imagine, what's one more D.L. Moody? What's one more Charles Spurgeon? What's one more Terry Angel worth? We've spent a lot of money, even just beginning, close to, let's see, yeah, five figures? Yeah, five figures, just in the setup of these things. But I believe it's worth it for the opportunity to see somebody saved and discipled for the cause of Christ. And so we'll get to that, and we'll talk more about some things during the message. Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings, if you would. First Kings chapter number 17. This message has been burning a hole in my heart for a while now, and I pray that I do it, meaning the Word of God, justice. In 1 Kings 17, we're introduced to a character, and it says, Elijah, the Tishbite. This is our very first introduction to this man named Elijah. If you don't know him, if you're unfamiliar with his name, or you've forgotten, if we're comparing for our workmen in here, the ones with the not soft hands, the calluses, you know what I'm talking about when I say Elijah was not a polishing cloth. He was not a 1,000-grit sandpaper. He was more of a 40-grit sandpaper type of guy. When he rubbed up against you, there was some friction. You knew that Elijah was in the house. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but at my word. And so he jumps onto the scene in verse number 1, with a slap across the face to Ahab. He speaks truth to power, something that's lacking in this day and age, not at this church, but in many. And he gets abrasive immediately. Why, though? I'd like to draw a parallel between this time frame and where we sit right here now. Because in 1 Kings 16, we're introduced to a man named Omri, who the Bible says, in the middle of the chapter, we won't turn there for sake of time, but he did exceedingly evil to the point that there was nobody more evil than him that sat upon the throne. But not to be one-upped, enter Ahab, stage right. And the Bible says, in verse number 34, maybe the second to last verse of chapter 16, that he one-upped Omri and was the most exceedingly evil king that had ever sat upon the throne. Does that sound a little bit like the world we live in right now? Just when you think they can't plumb the depths of wickedness anymore, they sink to another level, right? But in a broken and disappointing, to put it mildly, world, God always begins with a devoted workman. Devoted to what, you may ask? God's will, his work, his wisdom, and the last we'll get to in just a moment, his word. That is where Elijah steps onto the scene. And in verse number 2, if you'd look there for just a moment, we're introduced to something. Something that is missing. See, friend, we have something that is so desperately missing from our world. But that's not the problem. It's missing from our communities. And yes, that's a problem, but it's not the root of the problem. It's missing from our churches, and that's worse yet, but still not the real issue. It's missing from our families, from us personally. If we are the cure for America's ills, we are also the problem by our removal. But see, it's not us. One of the core tenets that Bible Tracts was based on, and one of the reasons I believe it has stood the test of time for 8+ decades, is one of our core values is this. The power of the gospel is in the word and not the worker. You see, friend, we rely on personality and programs and our own power so often, but we're missing what's in verse number 2. Look there with me if you would. And if you would, read the next 5 words with me. Ready, begin. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying. You see this Elijah character who stood before Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And when he said my word, he was not talking about his word. He was talking about the word that would be given to him from God. And here's what happens. The word of the Lord comes unto him saying, get thee hence, in verse number 3, and turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Here's what's going on. He's literally standing in the throne room in the presence of royalty, and here's what God says. Okay, that's enough, Ahab. Go into the wilderness. Bide your time. We don't like being sent into the wilderness too often, do we? Understand this, that Elijah had just pronounced a drought, and then God told him to go to a very small brook. Elijah was not a foolish man. He understood that the drought was going to affect the brook Cherith here shortly. So often, I believe, Brother Bragg, we get ahead of God, and we know exactly what's coming down the pike, and we get ahead of God's timing, and we say, hold on, God, I'm going to go a different direction because the brook's going to dry up. But God has you there for a space of time, and we don't realize it oftentimes. We get ahead, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. Verse number 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. That sounds delicious, doesn't it? Regurgitated raven food. That's a good time. Nothing to compare to the Mexican feast we had. I want raven food. See, you don't understand. They had Postmates back then. They had Uber Eats. It came in the form of ravens, okay? But does the Bible record Elijah talking back? No. Now, if he did or not, the Bible didn't see fit to notate that. Verse number 5, so he went. That's what the Bible says. And did according unto, you guessed it, let's say it together, the next 5 words. Ready? The word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook, and it came to pass after a while, we just talked about it, that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. That sounds like a non sequitur. Duh. The water was going to be gone. And yet God knew. I wonder if Elijah ever got antsy a little bit as he saw the stream begin to trickle less and less and less until it took a full 2 or 3 minutes to even fill his hand up with water. And all of a sudden, it was bone dry. Nothing there. I wonder at what point God then said, verse number 8, and read the next 5 words with me if you would, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, you see, the brook didn't stay wet. We'll backtrack here for just a moment. I think a lot of us have a real issue at times. We have no problem standing before kings and kingdoms and spouting our opinions. Maybe your king or kingdom, your fiefdom, is the avenue of Facebook. Maybe that's where you like to tell everyone how to fix the world. And we have no problem with telling everyone our amazing opinion on that platform. But what happens when God says, why don't you just step aside for a time, spend some time with me? The accommodations aren't as good as what you put us up in. The food definitely isn't. But is that worth it for some time with God? For many Christians, the answer is no. We like the lush, materialistic, first world amenities, don't we? But Elijah was willing to just go where the word of the Lord told him to go without complaint. Then we get to verse number 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. What did he do? So he arose, verse 10, and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Elijah, imagine this, was thirsty. The brook had dried up. We don't know for how long before the word of the Lord came to him. But he, an obedient servant, went where God told him to, and he saw someone that looked nice and said, ma'am, would you please get me a drink of water? And to her credit, she, in verse number 11, and as she was going to fetch it, She was going to get the man of God something to drink, a stranger, unbeknownst to her. Understand that water was a precious a substance in that time, and yet she was willing to go get it. And I'll tell you why, though. Because in verse number 11, he called her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And here's her response. We're introduced to this fact. Behold, a destitute woman. Verse number 11. Verse 12, and she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Here's why she was willing to go get a drink. It's probably because she had more than, you know, 2 or 3 weeks worth of water, but she only had one day of rations. She knew she wasn't going to need the water that much longer. You see, here in the first world, we are not in touch with our mortality as those in South Sudan are. It takes a 9/11. It takes a COVID-19 for people to really, and I'm talking Christians too, for us to really grasp what it's like to want. When the toilet paper's gone, people lose their minds. But mamas, put yourself in her shoes. Imagine. You know you've got two sticks, enough for a fire, a little oil, a little meal for you and your son. I wonder, Mama, how much was she going to eat of that last cake and how much was going to accidentally fall on little boy's plate? Hoping against hope, maybe, just maybe, something would happen, a miracle. Would happen. Behold, a destitute woman. Can I tell you, friend, that on the streets of Bourbonnais, Kankakee, they're not in want for food. Got a little card that'll take care of that. But spiritually, they've got no hope. And yet here we sit, fat and sassy, I'm speaking figuratively, having the cure. And people dropping off. This is not hyperbole. This is the rate at which people die and go to a devil's hell. In America, in South Sudan, in Germany, everywhere. Not knowing our God. But we get the opportunity. The next verse there. Verse number 13. This is a bold declaration of his word. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me there of a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Friend, can I tell you, when God puts you aside into the wilderness for a time, maybe, just maybe, you should obey what God wants for you. Because imagine if Elijah had showed up 2 months earlier to the widow of Zarephath. You know what she would have had on hand? 2 months worth of rations. She wouldn't have been as needful. And yet we let pass an opportunity like COVID-19 when people know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I might actually die. And we have no more concern for their soul in their time of most need than we ever did before. People need the Lord now. Not tomorrow. Not the next day. They need him then too, but they need him now. Yeah. And you've got to work on God's timing. Elijah, if he had been me, would have run ahead. "God, what do you have me next? Zarephath? You know, I'm going to skip the brook. We'll just go straight over there. I'll spend a couple months with the widow woman. That'll be great." But no. That's not what God had. Verse number 15. It's amazing. "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house." I love how the Bible just sums these things up. "And she and he and her house did eat many days," like it's no big thing. Wait a second. There was a little bit of oil, a little bit of meal, and then somehow it just lasts and lasts and lasts. Verse number 17, we'll get there in just a moment. Verse 16, let's look there. "And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to, let's say it together, the next five words, the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. You see, friend, we have the power source. We have what's missing. But this isn't the end of the story. You didn't know you were going to get a whole chapter of the Bible, but you are. Verse number 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. I found it just interesting with COVID and the effects it has on the human body with the inability to breathe in some cases. It's funny how the Lord allowed me to come across this. There was no breath left in him. Verse 18, and she said unto Elijah. Now you would think, hold on for a second. You would think, this woman, how many months did she eat with Elijah at her table? How many months did she eat with her son? How many months did she wake with a jolt and think, what am I going to feed my son today? Oh, wait. The man of God said, we're a week in here. He said, let me go check. And just enough for it today, once again. But as soon as her son died, it's like she took it all for granted. She'd lost faith. How long does it take for you to take for granted what you get every Sunday morning from your pastor? How long does it take for you to take for granted the goodness of the Lord? Normally, it's right about the time you hit a hard time. You forget everything that came before. And this lady did as well. You think in the face of, you understand she's literally going from the figurative executioner's block? She's literally going to die. She's on death row. And moreover, her son is going to die with her. But then God saves them, gives them weeks and months that they wouldn't have had. But as soon as her son expires, what does she say in verse number 18? She said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? What a foolish question. In 2020 hindsight vision, yeah, Elijah showed up to save your son to say, Nana na boo boo, I'm going to kill him a month later. That's what Elijah did. That doesn't make any sense. And yet, that's all this grieving woman could come up with. I don't know what her sin is. She felt guilty about something. Call my sin to remembrance. Maybe this child was out of wedlock. I don't know what the circumstance was. You're here to call my sin to remembrance, Elijah, and to slay my son? Verse number 19, and he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? He stretched himself upon the child three times, cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And praise God, the Lord heard the voice of the Lord, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, now thy son liveth. Happy ending. We can all go home. That's amazing. But here's the crux of the story. Something is missing from our world. Something is missing from our churches. Something, my friend, is missing from you. And when I look in the mirror, it's missing from me more often than it's not. Here's where we find it in verse number 24. So amazing. Here's what she says. And the woman said unto Elijah, now. Now, by this, I know that thou art a man of God. Hold on a second. You're telling me that months and months of me literally feeding you by the grace of God isn't enough for you to realize? Friend, can I tell you this? I am not opposed in the least to a hot dog or a ham sandwich for a bus kid. But can I tell you, social good never took anybody to heaven. Let me remind you, the scribes, the magicians, the soothsayers of Egypt, they could turn water red. They could procure frogs out of thin air. They could provide lice galore. But as soon as God said, give me your firstborn, those men had nothing. See what the difference is? And what's missing? The reason we can't seem to make an impact. It's like we're trying to vacuum up all the evil of the world and the cords laying not plugged into the power source. You see, friend, until you demonstrate a life-altering, life-giving God, the world couldn't care less. They'll forget you as soon as their belly is empty again. You know why? Why your pastor doesn't go the direction of the megachurches and programs galore and the music that satiates a current need but doesn't actually speak to the eternal soul? You know why we do what we do and preach from the King James Bible week in and week out, year after year? You know why Bible Tracts Incorporated has survived for 80-something years, the power of the gospel in the word and not the worker, and we can just unplug a 66-year-old and throw a young punk 27-year-old in, and it's the work that still continues on? It's because I'm not the power source. Your pastor is not the power source. Friend, may I tell you as bluntly as I can, you are not the power source. And when you walk out into a lost and dying world thinking you're God's gift, we end up exactly where we are. And you wonder. You wonder, how could this have happened? Do you want to make a difference? Bring someone back from the dead spiritually, and people will perk their ears up. When the drunk stops beating his wife and starts coming to church because God made a change in his life, all of a sudden people go, whoa, you can't do that with 12 steps. But no. It soothes our conscience to hand out some soup, doesn't it? And we could go home, pillow our head, thinking we did something. Meanwhile, that homeless man with his belly full now, you just gave them another day to do this. Something's missing. Yeah. And it's not going to come from out there. So if we are not the avenue, say, is this a missions conference message? Yeah, because this is the only message I got. I mean that literally. Yeah. This is the only message I can carry. The word of God to all the world. That's been the subscript under Bible Tracts Incorporated, founder Paul Levine, started in 1938, the word of God to all the world. And I wonder how it survived 8 decades. It ain't me. The last verse, one more time. And the woman said to Elijah, now, not earlier, not when you were feeding me, now, by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that, read the next 5 words, the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. You know why? A difference was made here. Well, we have a broken, a disappointing, a depressed world. It begins with a devoted workman. The brook didn't stay wet. We have the behold, a destitute woman, the bold proclamation of his word. The boy dies and he doesn't wake up. And lastly, this. The book does the work. Amen. And that's it.
Amen. Amen.
So, what are you plugged into? See, friend, if God had wanted Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Ben Shapiro, or you fill in the blank with your preferred conservative pundit to teach your Sunday school class and captain your bus, he could have done so, but he called you to bring his word, not the latest conservative talking points. And here's the problem. Here's why we can't make a difference, because we're more intent on engaging the receptionist at the hotel about the ridiculousness of masks and not about the glory of God's word. And you wonder why we can't get anything done. You say it's a little bit punchy. I keep hearing that the world's ending and Christ is coming back. That's what people keep telling me. But here's the problem. I don't care if it's tomorrow. I don't care if it's a year. I don't care if it's 1,000 years from now. There's still a lot of lost people that need gospel tracts in their hands. And so if it's all right with you, I'm going to ship some out tomorrow. And I'm going to keep handing them out. I don't know what you're going to do because you have choice. What are you going to plug into?
Amen.
What's it going to be?
Amen.
Brother Baxter, if you take anything but this over there, you will fail. That's not a prophecy. It's just Bible. If this church is built on anything, charm, wit, conservatism, personality, programs, it will wither and die, much like thousands of other churches. Your family, you will wither and die. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You have a choice. The decision to follow Christ cannot be made as a group. Your pastor can't make you. God won't even make you. He gives you a choice. May I beg of you, for my children's sake, those of you young people that will pastor them one day, can I beg of you for the destitute men, women, and children across the streets of this church, across the street from this church in our county, our state, our country, our world, to plug into the right power source? I'm going to pray in just a moment. When I say amen, we're going to stand together. The music will play. You may notice that it was light on practical application because I believe the Holy Spirit can tell you exactly what choice you need to make right now. You know, let's do it. Father, thank you for the opportunity. God, may we make the right decision now. May we do your work by your word. In your son's name we pray. Amen. The music plays. Let's all stand together. The altar is open. Do business with God. What's it going to be? Another empty Sunday in 4 days? Or vibrant, plugged in to the power of God's word? You make the choice. No one else.
Great thought tonight. What are you plugged into? What are you plugged into? The power is in the Word of God. And I think it was, I don't know, 3 or 4 Sunday mornings ago, that was the kind of the theme of the message that God put on my heart for that Sunday morning. We spent more time talking with people about COVID. We should have been talking about Christ and giving them the Word of God. Great message tonight. Thought-provoking message. Truthful message. Presented from an honest heart, and I hope the Lord used it in your life tonight. This book right here that you and I hold in our hands, it's unbelievable. What a book. Get plugged into it. Get plugged into it personally, your own time with it. Get your family plugged into it. Sunday school teacher, preacher, junior church preacher, doesn't matter, bus captain, anybody that stands with a Bible in front of a group of people. May it not be our wit, our personality, our use of the English language. May it be the Word of God that we give. For it has the power to change a life, bring salvation to a lost soul. Father, thank you for the challenge tonight from your Word about your Word. And I just thank you, Lord, for what you've given Micah by way of this ministry. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help him get some of the dreams that you've put on his heart accomplished. And I pray that the word of the Lord will go out in abundance through Bible Tracts Incorporated in the months and years ahead. May there be thousands of people saved through that ministry. In Jesus' name, and amen. Well, that was a challenge. That was a blessing. Hope you got that. That was a powerful, powerful message tonight to end the conference. Thank you, Brother McCurry. He mentioned in the message about the festival, I think he said it was, in Pakistan. And they have sent, how many tracks have y'all sent? 500,000. They could use some more. I was just talking with him up here about that. We gave Brother Baxter $1,000 to help get a container of materials, hopefully a second container of materials. I asked Brother McCurry, $1,000 would print probably between 70,000 and 100,000 tracks. 70,000 to 100,000 tracks. And after a message like that, I can't think of anything better to invest in than a tool to get the word of the Lord to people. I believe the iron is hot. I believe the time is now. This world is crazy. And you know it. You know it. And God help us if we sit on our hands. So, and I probably should call Brother Shipman and Brother Bruner and see if they have a particular project or something that they need help with, since we help these guys. But I think it would be a good investment to send the $1,000 home with them to get invested in these tracks right away. He thinks that they can get those printed and ready in Pakistan for next week. 70,000 to 100,000 tracks that the Lord would let us provide for that. So, amen, we can do that out of our mission surplus and give that to Him. And then, folks, this is what we want to do. You know, I want to take on the Baxters, the Bruners, the McCurries, the Shipmans, Brother Harris, who couldn't be here. We want to take on these five missionary families. That's $75 a month, $225 a quarter. You multiply that out. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to do that if we just all obey God, do what God says. Every teenager that works a job now, there's a lot of teenagers that are working jobs, make an income. I don't think God expects you to give every bit of your income away. You've got a future to plan for financially. But I will tell you, one of the best ways to plan for it financially is to give some of that to missions. Because you know what the promise is in Philippians? God gives every bit of that back. Somehow, some way, He gives it back. And think about the song that the Baxters sang tonight, one of my favorite songs. I want my life to count for Jesus. Boy. And you can do it. Working your job, driving your car, living in your home, and every Sunday coming with that check made out and a portion of it going to Faith Promise Missions to send the word of the Lord somewhere to a person who needs it. It's been a good meeting, hasn't it? It's not been what we're used to, but God's been good to us and helped us. And my heart's just stirred tonight about this topic. Wonderful message.